Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We saw it all coming. J.J. Watt to the Cardinals. That's one of our two poll questions this morning. J.J. signing with the Cardinals is fill in the blank. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. Our other one this morning, which we're going to dive right into, 59th anniversary of Will Chamberlain scoring 100 points in an NBA game. Happened back in 1962 out in Hershey, Pennsylvania. So we're asking, could anybody score 100 in an NBA game today? Obviously, there are some differences here. The three-point line, obviously not in effect back in 62. The way the game is played, the emphasis on offense, all of it. Let's get right to it. Corey in Charlotte, you're on ESPN Radio. NBA players that could score 100.
Talk to me, Corey.
Yeah. Good morning, you fellas. I have to say Steph Curry has won because of the three ball. You know, I think he has a record for, hitting 100 straight in practice. So I think his ability to do that at any given moment. KD, he's a seven-foot monster who can score from anywhere in the basket. And James Harden's capable of just getting to the free throw line. So I think if he get, 50 free throws, take up, 30 shots, then he'll get 100 easy.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know if there's ever been a player in NBA history who's gotten 50 free throws. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never seen that before.
50, in a game?
50 free throws in a game. Yeah. I mean, if you get 40 shot attempts, I think it's possible. If you get 40, 45 shot attempts, I think it's possible. I like the three options.
And let's scroll down, because there's a guy here that I really want to get to here with Rick in Delaware. Now, this is interesting, considering the style we're talking about, that you need it. Rick in Delaware.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening,
What's up, man?
What's up, Rick?
Listen, there's only one guy in the league that could match the physical dominance that Wilt had back then, and that is Joel Embiid.
Oh, God.
And he can shoot the three ball.
You like the Sixers? When are they going to win by championship game?
Man, if we can get by Kevin Durant and James Harden, it might be this year.
Told you he was a Sixer fan. Just throwing that question out there to us, that's all. Knew he was a Sixer. Knew it.
Joel Embiid would have to take a lot of threes in order to catch a hundo. A lot of threes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not his game all the way. I mean, he can shoot it, but I don't want Joel Embiid taking a lot of threes.
Quick reminder today on the ESPN Daily, Azzi Fudd is the top women's basketball recruit by far. Katie Barnes tells us about the young star's relentless drive as she moves towards starting with the UConn Huskies down the road. That's on the ESPN Daily podcast. Listen on your favorite podcast app. Alex is in Nebraska, and he's on ESPN Radio. Who could fill it up to the tune of the century mark?
Right. So I think Klay Thompson, even though he's injured, when he comes back, is a guy that can do it. He's fast scoring. And then I think you got to look at a guy like Devin Booker, who's young and goes off a couple times a season, gets fairly close. So I think those are your two guys that can score quick, get it done. So love the show. Good job, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, D-Book can do that. I mean, he has 71 points. And our homie at MikePetro23 said 39 free throw attempts are the most in the NBA game.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Who had it? Nobody?
He didn't tell me who had it, but he saw it on Twitter. So,
who do you guys think could do it?
I mean, I went through the list. I think
Steph Curry,
D-Book, Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal is perfectly positioned to do it in D.C. James Harden, KD. I mean, every situation has to be right.
I was about to say, it's different, though, right? It's not like when Wilt played back in the day. It's almost like they almost got to let you do it to a degree, right?
Well, not let you, but it's like, all right, I'll give you an example where I feel like Bradley can do it, right? Like, he already averages like close to 30 points per game. I think at 30 points per game, he leads the NBA. It's a game where Russell Westbrook doesn't play, and he gets hot. Like, say in the first half, he has like 45, right? Like, because he's hot. And it has to be one of those games where a guy just gets incredibly hot, but there's not a lot of options as well for other people to score.
But are you just going to let somebody do you like that?
No, but sometimes, Jalen Rosen let Kobe drop 81 on him. He dropped 81 on ass. Like, he did it. Like,
please.
It happens. Like, trust me, go back and watch the tape. They were trying to lock him down. Kobe was giving them buckets.
Here's the other thing. Wilt was so much more physically dominant than everyone he played with. Today, Embiid is a giant guy, but there's several guys that would be ready to D up Joel Embiid, right? There's a ton of great shooters. He was such a once-in-a-lifetime sort of player in that era. In that case, even though he didn't have the three-point line, and obviously when you're that big, there's no reason to go out there, even if there was an arc. But the bottom line is he was so much more physically imposing than everybody else that he could probably trade his twos for your threes. I mean, he was that dominant.
I found out who the player was with 39 free throw attempts twice in his career. Guess who? It's a big guy. It's a big guy. Big guy.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Dwight Howard.
Oh, wow.
Dwight Howard.
Oh, that was because he couldn't shoot free throws.
Well, they just Shaq and Dwight.
Come here.
Shot 50% probably from the field during those two games.
Yeah, that's probably the reason Shaq would be high up on that list at some point as well. Okay, Les is in Virginia. Who could score 100 today?
The answer is easy. It's Kevin Durant. Nobody can stop Kevin Durant. The big man cannot stay in front of him. And there's no short man he can't get a shot off on.
You see,
he's just not a ball hog.
I feel
he's not
you.
A ball hog.
He's not a ball hog. But here's the problem with this current construction of the team, though. Is it realistic that that can happen this year with James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the court?
But if it can happen with James Harden, how come it can't happen with KD?
That's true. I mean,
Yeah,
I think it happened more with James Harden if it's one of those games where Kyrie and KD are not playing.
Just because James Harden is a hot dog.
And he's going to have the ball in his hands all the time.
Hot dog. Go ahead,
say it. Yeah, you don't get shots up.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love this name. Earthy in Virginia. What you got?
Yes, I got any of the guys that you just mentioned, like KD, Harden, and you have the other guy for the Brooklyn Nets.
Irving?
Kyrie.
And he's Kyrie. Kyrie, you guys forgot to mention Kyrie. He can get his shot at any moment. I think he can go off for 100 with Clay and Steph. So any of those guys that I just mentioned can do it easily. Thompson.
Not a bad one. Not a bad one. Rod in North Carolina. Give us a name we haven't heard yet.
Zach LaVine. I feel like he can get hot and he doesn't really have a conscience and he can pull up from anywhere. So I think Zach LaVine could get the 100 points.
Rod, you may be on to something there because Zach LaVine is shooting a three ball at a different clip this year, man. There's a reason why he's an all-star.
And we're also mentioning another question this morning. We're going back and forth, so keep it coming on the 100-point games. We're also asking, J.J. Watt signing with the Cardinals is? So we got a little NFL question. We got an NBA question. Jake in Syracuse, J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals is?
Hey, guys.
What's that?
What's up, Jake?
So I got in the car this morning heading to work. You guys break the news for me on J.J. Watt. First thing that popped into my head is just being a kid in grade school, and you're going to pass gas so loud, and everybody's going to laugh, teacher's going to freak out, and then it's just nothing. Bum, 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 bum. It's just a nothing signing.
Gotcha.
So you didn't pass gas or you passed gas?
Oh, God.
I'm confused. Wait, Jake, break it down. I'm confused.
I don't want him breaking that down.
Well, he said, you know, I don't know what that meant.
And nothing. I guess he's just saying it's nothing.
I hope
everybody
he ran to the bathroom after he passed me. That sounded wet. What?
Kids are on their way to school.
I'm sorry.
Back to the other poll question. 100 in the game. Legs in New York. Give us somebody we haven't heard from yet.
Yes. I think Russell Westbrook can get that 100 points. If he puts his mindset to it the way he did when he was averaging all those triple-doubles, he can pull it off.
I thought about Westbrook for a minute, and then Jay Will kind of brought me back down to earth and just like, nah.
I feel like Russ, he can get you points, but not – he gets you points, rebounds, and assists. Like, I think of Russ with usage,
because he
right?
can't hit the three. Like,
yeah, it's not easy for
basis.
Him to shoot. Like, Russ be trying to like – Russ be wide open. Russ be like, no, I'm going to take like five dribbles in and try to rack it real quick.
But he's just so explosive and quick to the cup. You can't do nothing with that.
Why not? But, I mean, that's a lot of twos, though.
I've seen him bunny hop from the – from the free throw line, it's like, man.
It's like every offseason I see a Russell Westbrook highlight. I'm like, he's going to shoot a jumper, and it's him dunking. I'm like, I already know you can dunk, Russ.
Yeah, I like him.
Let me see you shoot a three ball.
I like him, though.
I know, he's nice.
Give me a number here, because you've said it's not going to be 100. We get it throughout the course of a game. No team is actively going to allow somebody to score 100. They'll do anything to save their reputation. We saw Kobe hit 81 and Devin Booker hit 70. What's a realistic number in that area that someone can get to? It's 100s out. We get it.
Well, you just saw Devin Booker do 70. You saw Kobe. Yeah. But see, Kobe different, though. Right? I mean, that's – he
Mamba.
Might He might 81 10 times a season if he wanted to.
But see, Devin Booker dropped 71. Zach LaVine, I like what the call, I think it was Rod in North Carolina, said Zach LaVine. I mean, he's probably the most gifted scorer Chicago's had since MJ.
60 seemed like it's just, I mean, I would stay right. I would hover around that 60 mark, at 60, 65. Stay right there. Even though some guys have gone
over
that. A
little speed limit.
Yeah, 60, 65. Stay right there. Don't go too far over that.
And speaking of going far as you can go as a woman in the NFL, it's a pleasure to have Amy Trask join us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline, former Raiders chief executive officer. You see her on CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network, Sunday NFL pregame show. And Amy, it's a pleasure to have you here. And it is Women's History Month, so it's the perfect time to have you here. Being one of the highest ranking female executives in NFL history, there's so much talk about the diversification, the NFL, to get more minorities and women involved from the executive level down to the coaching level. Where do you think the NFL stands with that right now?
Well, thank you, men, for having me on. I'm a fan of the show, and I appreciate you inviting me to join you. You know, my perspective is a bit different than the perspective of others because I started in the league so long ago. You will have umpteen listeners and that weren't even born when I started my career in the NFL. And the reason I note that is while there hasn't been enough progress and while we shouldn't stop trying and working and attempting to make greater progress until these issues are solved, there certainly has been progress since I started in the league. I started with the Raiders in the mid-80s, early part of the mid-80s, and there wasn't even a discussion of women in the NFL, of diversity, of the need for diversity and inclusiveness. So has there been progress? Absolutely. Does there need to be more? Absolutely.
What's up, Amy?
Hey there. How are you?
Good. Long time no hear from. That's okay, though. You mentioned working with the Raiders back in the 80s. How was it working for Al Davis, knowing that he was a strong advocate of minorities along with women being hired in the professional ranks?
Well, look, you have listeners and fans and followers that are Raider fans and loved Al, and you have many listeners and followers and fans that can't stand the Raiders and couldn't stand Al. But if we are all being intellectually honest about this, we should all agree that this is someone who hired without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, or any other individuality, which has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on whether one can do a job. And he was doing this, as I said, decades and decades and decades before other people were even discussing this topic. I'm a beneficiary of his vision. He hired this girl, and I was a girl. I was a kid. He hired me in, you know, it was roughly 1983 when I started my internship, 87 when I was hired full-time as an employee. And as I said, these weren't even topics on the table back then. So I did have the great fortune of working for him. He didn't give a damn about one's race, gender, or ethnicity. He wanted someone to do a job.
Let me ask you this, Amy, because you've been around for a long time in the National Football League. You've seen all sorts of cycles with coaches being hired, being involved with hiring coaches, firing coaches. When you look at this past cycle, and there was only two minority coaches that was hired, and the last coach that was hired in the National Football League happened to be African-American and David Culley with the Houston Texans. What do you take away from the lack of minority hires in this past cycle?
Very, very disappointing on the coaching level, much more optimistic on the general manager level. And I do like what I see a number of teams are doing in terms of pipelines for people to begin their careers and work their way up. As you men know, you don't wake up one day and say, I want to be a GM, I want to be a CEO, I want to be a head coach. You work your way into those positions. So let's keep our eye also on entry-level positions, and a number of teams are starting pipelines for people to join early in their careers and work their way up. So I'm hopeful we'll see more advancement in that regard as well.
Amy, we had DeMar Smith on the show before, and he said the same exact thing about pipeline. And he said, we wish we could throw the Rooney Rule out the window. Is that the same for you? Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think it's, look, there should never need to be a rule to do the right thing. It's a shame that there needs to be a rule to do the right thing. But if it's helping, then it's helping. And I have yet to hear anyone suggest a better idea. You know, building pipelines is so important, and it's smarter than just having a rule. But we can do these things at the same time. And by the way, I would be remiss if I didn't admit that I was an absolute child about it when the league announced the establishment of the Rooney Rule. And I immediately called the league office and said it should be the Al Davis Rule. And I behaved like an absolute child because, by the way, Dan Rooney, tremendously, tremendously important to me in my career, loved Dan Rooney. But I really thought it should have been named the Al Davis Rule.
Let me ask you about a current situation that just happened. J.J. Watt signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Were you surprised by the move, and why do you think that happened?
I was, you know, I don't know that I would say I was surprised or not surprised. I didn't have an expectation of where he would go. I had some thoughts of where he'd go. Arizona wasn't one of them, so perhaps that constitutes being surprised. But look, he's going somewhere where, by definition, given the math, he's not going to face a lot of double teams because, as we all know, it's math. It's 11 on 11. And if you choose to double someone, someone else is going to have greater opportunity. And he's going to a team which was tied for fourth last year in the league with the number of sacks. They know how to pressure the quarterback. So now, you know, JJ is a guy, when healthy, that opposing offenses get up to the line of scrimmage and say, where is he? Where is he? I always called them, where is he players? Because you need to account for him. You know what? Chandler Jones needs to be accounted for as well. And so he's going to have greater opportunity there because he's not going to be the only pass rush weapon on the team.
Amy Trask, CBS Sports NFL analyst and former, get this guys, former Raider CEO, joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Amy, what does this do for the Cardinals? Where does this put them in the NFC? Not the NFC West, but the NFC.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you were going to go NFC West, and I think the NFC West is one of the most intriguing divisions. Well, look, we don't know how things are going to shake out with Russell Wilson in Seattle. Let's assume for the moment he stays there. New quarterback in Los Angeles. We know what we just talked about, Arizona, and San Francisco had just an innumerable injuries last year, and if they come back from all those injuries, could be a different team. And we don't know what they'll do at quarterback. They may add. I think it's an incredibly exciting division, and it's going to be a hard division to win. So your question is a great one. Maybe we see Arizona, if not winning that division, and I think that division will come down to the end, fighting for a wild card spot.
Mm. How surprised are you about all this quarterback kind of like uncertainty surrounding different teams right now, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, just all of these different movements that could potentially take place over the next several months?
Well, these two things are not mutually inconsistent. We could see a lot of movement, far more movement than normal, of very, very, very good quarterbacks. You just named a few. Am I surprised? No. I think I've gotten to the point where nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to such things. So I do think it'll be an exciting offseason. You named a few quarterbacks. We'll see how that thing works out in Houston with Dak. We've got Russell Wilson. I think San Francisco should add at the quarterback position. We already see one trade has been made, although it's not yet final. So, look, we don't know what the Jets are going to do. And, of course, there's the draft to factor in. So I think it's going to be a very, very exciting offseason for quarterbacks.
Amy, how would you have handled or how would you handle the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston?
Well, I've been saying this for quite a while. I don't know if he's done this or not, and if he has, it certainly doesn't seem to have been effective. Were I Cal McNair, when this started percolating, when this story started coming out, I would have done absolutely positively everything I could do personally, by myself, to try to mend this relationship with Deshaun. Look, he can delegate authority all he wants, whether to Jack Easterby or Nick Caserio, but at the end of the day, the owner of a team has ultimate authority and ultimate responsibility and ultimate control over that team. And you can delegate all you want, but by definition, since you can revoke that delegation, you as the owner of that football team are fully in charge. Take charge and go try to fix this. And if the reports were true and Deshaun wasn't answering the phone or responding to texts, I would have driven over to his house and parked my car in front with a big note on the windshield that says, "I'm sorry this is happening. Can we please talk?" And I would have done absolutely everything I could have done personally to mend that relationship. And that's what I would have advised Cal to do if I worked there. I don't know how hard he tried. It doesn't strike me that he tried hard on a personal level. And we may see Houston lose a very, very good quarterback as a result.
It's funny. We had Mike Tannenbaum, also a front office individual like yourself, that came on and said the exact same thing. Whatever you have to do to salvage it, you have to do it. And by the way, I love your line on the Al Davis rule, because people don't think about it. You obviously rose to the top as a woman. Art Shell, a black head coach when there are not many black head coaches. And don't sleep on this one. Tom Flores, Hispanic head coach, right, when there weren't a lot of Hispanic head coaches, all brought to the forefront by the late, great Al Davis with the flame out there in Las Vegas. Key, you want to say something?
I was just going to tell her, don't stay away too long now. Don't be shy.
I won't. And it's really, really nice to hear your voice. And Keyshawn really did run away from me very quickly when he saw me walking towards him once, because he thought I was going to tamper. And I'm not going to, you know, say yes or no to that, because my law school background is popping up here and I won't incriminate myself. But I'm just going to say there's a chance that Keyshawn was right, that when I was walking over, there was some tampering in mind.
Yes, I was right.
That plausible deniability as a lawyer, that plausible deniability. Amy, thank you so
much. Absolute plausible deniability.
Great to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Amy Trask, Trailblazer. It's Women's History Month. We could have her on in any month. I mean, that's working for Al Davis, couldn't imagine it's the easiest job in the world.
Oh, no. She, you know, I've been knowing Amy, obviously, out in California for a while. But, she was walking over. And I'm like, at this point, it was, you know, I'm like, no, you don't need, because in the NFL, they don't want the other team, especially the Raiders at the time with Al Davis. And I know she mentioned the Rooney Rule and naming Al Davis. They were never going to do that. Mm-hmm. The league and Al Davis? Oh, no.
I have to watch that 30 for 30.
Oh, it's cool.
I haven't seen
it
yet, but I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's cool. I watched it the first night it came out. It's cool. Okay. Real cool. It's fire. Mm. Especially if you're from L.A. and you know the backstory behind Pete Rozelle and Al Davis and just all the little intricate parts of it, you'll find it fascinating because you like that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating.
It's creepy too, right, though, yeah, because they got the what do you call it? The
holograms.
Yeah, the hologram kind of.
Al Davis is in like the Raiders stadium in Las Vegas, which obviously
like
a
real. They put a guy and made him up or whatever it looked like Al Davis and Pete Rozelle. So it was a little creepy because it was really close to them. Like it was like, yeah, I don't know about this one. That would be really creepy if Al showed up at a game.
Last thing I would say, obviously the league is coasting now. Corporate profits are at all-time levels and everybody's just doing the safe thing. But the reality is when you're trying to build a league, what you need is mavericks.
Yeah.
You need people that are going to out on a limb and do stuff and try stuff. And to be honest with you, Rozelle was one and Davis was one. As much as they hated each other, I think they respected the fact that they both realized in some ways they were like the same person.
Man, Al Davis was that dude, though. Like he was that dude. Like if you were a football player, like I'm talking about like a real, like just – live, breathe, eat football. You wanted to mess with Al. Like, I really wanted to play for the Raiders, but they could never get me. They just didn't have draft picks, just nothing. Imagine being a Raider in silver and black.
It's a problem.
That's why they still have generations of fans. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Amy Trask joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. And a reminder, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're given thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise a sports fan in your life with the year of ESPN Plus. You can visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear to subscribe or get more details. On the way, more detailed draft talk. The Jets have to decide between Sam Darnold and Wilson, but not Russell Wilson. So what should they do? The number one draft guy in the game, Mel Kiper Jr., is next with the answer. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
This year, it's like nuts. Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else.
Mac Jones is really the one that's most interesting to me right now.
The Jets and Zach Wilson is a marriage that I think makes all sorts of sense beginning in 2021.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Good morning. I'm Zubin Mehenti here with your SportsCenter update. The Atlanta Hawks have fired head coach Lloyd Pierce. He went 63-120 with the Hawks. Nate McMillan, old school coach, his assistant, will take over. Nate, of course, has been around the NBA for a long time, most recently was the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. The Hawks just weren't moving along at the clip they wanted. Lloyd started this year 10-9, but then the Hawks have fallen into a funk. They've got a developmental roster that needs to be developed, obviously, more than Pierce was able to do it. College basketball, Duke Georgia Tech tonight, ESPN Radio, ACC Network as well. Jay's Duke Blue Devils have a 29% chance to make the NCAA tournament, according to the Basketball Power Index. So they got some work to do. Selection Sunday is Sunday, March 14th. Black history always on this date, 1962, 59-year anniversary of Will Chamberlain accomplishing one of the greatest feats in NBA history, maybe the greatest single individual feat, scoring 100 in a game. And we're asking this morning, you at 888-SAY-ESPN and Key J and Z on Twitter, who in the NBA could pull off scoring 100 in a game today? Keep filling up. We've got some great responses. SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Spend your tax return wisely with Straight Talk Wireless. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune in to Straight Talk.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
May make sense to him, but not to our next guest. Apparently, Mel Kiper Jr. is the authority on the NFL draft. Of course, the co-host of the First Draft podcast with Todd McShay and Field Yates, the best place to get you caught up in the podcast world as we move towards April 29th in the first round of the draft. Hopefully, cross our fingers in Cleveland. Mel, good morning. There's a big decision for the Jets to make. They can obviously stick with Sam Darnold, or they can use the number two pick on a quarterback like Zach Wilson. Right now, you have the Jets trading out of the two spot, moving down to four. So that would presume you're thinking they're going to move ahead solidly with Darnold. Why is that?
Zubin, I think you look at Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida, Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU. You can get one of those three and also have your quarterback. If you go Zach Wilson, you lose those three. And I would say you better love Zach Wilson a heck of a lot more than you feel good about Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold better be a guy that you have major questions about. Zach Wilson, you better feel can be big time to make that move where you take the young quarterback, unproven, over a guy you know better than anybody and has had some success despite a terrible supporting cast, and you lose one of these three dynamic offensive performers that will make your quarterback, Sam Darnold, a heck of a lot better. It's really unfair for Darnold to go out there every week with limited players around, limited supporting cast around him. And if you add one of these three tremendous prospects, you have helped him enormously.
Let me ask you this, though, Mel. If it's me and I'm running the Jets, I move out of the number two spot, I slide down, I pick up one of those big tackles, and I find a receiver that or a tight end later in the draft, considering that that position is somewhat deep and we still need to protect Sam Darnold at the quarterback spot.
Well, Mekhi Becton-Key, they drafted last year in the first round, left tackle. You're not going to find a Kyle Pitts in the second, third, fourth round. He is so special. and so much better than everybody else. That's why I went Pitts over Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase. I'm with you, Key. I think you can get wide receivers. I have 11 wide receivers with second-round grades, 7 wide receivers with third-round grades, with 5 going in the first round. That's 23 receivers in the first 3 rounds. So I get you. I'm with you on that with the wide receiver position, but I'm not in agreement on tight end. Kyle Pitts is what everybody wants and everybody needs. And I think when you look at what he would do to that Jets offense, got nothing from the tight end position, then you would really start developing talent. If Sam Darnold can't get it done once the talent improves, then you move on. But right now, how can you make a decision on Sam Darnold when he's had nothing around him? And he's had the mono and the injury with the shoulder. Okay, and he's still tried to gut it out. He's still really, I think, really a competitive kid. You know, say ultra competitive, who knows? You know, is he a 10? Is he an 8? Bottom line is they know that better than anybody. They know his work ethic, his passion for the game, his football acumen. They, within that building, know that more than and better than anybody else. That's a decision they have to make coming up. Do you stick with Sam or do you move on to Zach Wilson, yet lose one of those 3 players I mentioned?
Yeah, Pitts is an interesting position at the tight end spot. As you know, Mel, the last time the Jets took a tight end that high, ouch, Kyle Brady, right? It wasn't everybody wasn't gung-ho on that. You also have the 49ers trading up from 12 to 7, I'm assuming, to grab Justin Fields is what you put down, or Trey Lance. Is that something that you believe they'll do?
I think they could. I think Justin Fields is going to go in that general area. I have him as the second highest rated quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. Some disagree with that. Some of them way down the line. 2 games, he didn't look the same as he did in 2019 against Indiana or Northwestern. I get that, but they had an interrupted season. They were dealing with COVID. They didn't know practice schedule. They didn't know who they were playing. It was not a normal season by any stretch, not even close. So I think for Justin Fields to play the way he did with all that pressure on him in that game against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence, and to play the way he did after what he did in 2019, that was enough to sell me on Justin Fields. And to me, you heard the same criticism I've said for the last couple weeks about Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, look where they are. So if he's coached properly, goes to the right organization, and of course Kyle Shanahan would be the right spot, offensive-friendly coach, offensive-friendly system for a quarterback, I think it would be a great spot for Justin Fields.
You have Trey Lance. Where would Trey Lance go if this was next year in 2022? He comes back to school. He could potentially be the first overall pick, but you got guys like Jaden Daniels out there at ASU at quarterback that'll probably enter the draft. Where would they stack up against one another?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I've talked about that. Sam Howell, North Carolina, is another really good one for Mack Brown. He'll be a true junior coming up, although you lose last year, so you can say sophomore, junior. But bottom line is, I thought Trey Lance, I would have suggested going to Texas with Sark, go to Ohio State, follow Justin Fields, play 1 year there in 2021. Then in the 2022 draft, you would have been the number one player overall, pretty much guaranteed. And I still think there would have been a chance, even had he played another year there, could have been a chance to be the number one pick overall. So he's an enormously gifted player, only 20 years of age, only the 1 start this year, only 17 career starts. We talked about all that. That's why it's a little risky when you talk about the top 10. But talent will win out with Trey Lance. And like I said, if New England wants to make that move, or it's the 49ers, whoever it may be, Trey Lance will be a quarterback I think you really need to let sit for a year. We say that about everybody, and none of them do. They all play, right? They all play right away. But in Trey Lance's case, being only 20, coming from a 1AA program with only 17 starts and only 1 start this past season, I think you want to kind of ease him into the National Football League.
Mel, is that why you have the Patriots coming up to number 9 and selecting him in your mock draft? Is that the perfect fit for him with Bill Belichick?
I think so, Jay. I think, you know, we talk about Jimmy G maybe coming to New England, all these different possibilities. New England's got to get a quarterback. I mean, they had dominated that division with Tom Brady. Now Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen are set to dominate. The Jets are trying to figure out, is it Darnold, is it Wilson, whoever it may be. Same thing with Miami with Tua. And then you have New England. Who's their quarterback going to be? We don't know. But I think a great starting point would be one of these young quarterbacks. And they certainly, Mac Jones with that Saban-Belichick connection is the one interesting guy, because we know that. We know Mac Jones has a little Brady in him. When Brady was at Michigan, you see what Mac Jones has now. Very similar in terms of that pocket passer, great accuracy, competitor, super smart. So whether, you know, Saban, Belichick connection, you look at all those Alabama, LSU players up at New England, that's why Mac Jones, I think, is certainly in the discussion in that room when Bill Belichick is trying to figure out who his quarterback's going to be.
Now that we've started the workout circuit in the offseason, pro days are underway, who's the one guy that is not on your big board today that'll be on the big board tomorrow?
Well, I had Kelvin Joseph, cornerback, Kentucky, key at 25. I did not put him in the first round. I think he's set to run in the 4.3s. I think he could have a spectacular 40 time. I think Jason Owe, defensive end, outside linebacker from Penn State, is the one you want to really keep an eye on. I put him in the late first. A lot of people won't, some will, but I looked at the zero sacks and said, really? But if you watch 2019, you look at that length, that size, and he'll probably run, guys, around a 4.3 to 4.35. At Penn State, defensive end, pass rusher, potentially. Now you say, how can he be a great pass rusher when you get a sack at Penn State? Well, the potential, coached up properly, Jason Owe, Penn State, is a kid to really keep an eye on as to what kind of numbers he comes through with at his pro day, and certainly that could push him into the late first round.
You can always check out Mel's latest mock draft, ESPN Plus, and we'll continue to monitor everything on the way to the draft, April 29th on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Mel, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Right, thank you, bud.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. On the way, there have been some pretty good stats, some pretty good numbers on the Knicks' resurgence. Record, winning streak, how good they've been this deep into a season. You've heard the all. The best one yet, the best stat about the Knicks' resurgence is next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So one more thing before we let you go. Hang on, fellas. We got the graphic on. We're covering you. We're covering you. Hang on. Hang on.
Man, we're messing around with Justin. This happens when your boss comes into work.
TV crew got you covered. Hang on. A few extra seconds for this magnificent graphic somebody made. Give them a little credit. Okay, so
this is real life, man.
Before I let you go, we spent a good amount of time yesterday talking about the Knicks, the resurgent Knicks. You've heard all the stories, right? They're 18 and 17. They're fourth in the East. This is only the third time in the last 20 years that they've been over 500 after 35 games. That all sounds good. So they've taken 35 games to get to 18 wins. 18 is the number. How many games, I'm not going to make you guess. I already heard about that. I heard about that yesterday.
Jeez.
I'm going to give you the answer. 18 games.
What
right?
did they say to you?
Well,
yeah. Now I want to know what happened.
Now you gotta
what happened?
Me, now you got to take me behind the curtain.
Gotcha.
I'll, as you like to say.
I'll take you behind the curtain. I was told that sometimes don't spring a question on the spot. That's all I was told. Okay. That's all I was told. But I think that's fair. I think that's fair. So here's the deal. Knicks, 18 wins in 35 games. Last year, it took them 60 games to get to 18 wins. Now, let that just marinate for a second. This year, they've done it in 35. Last year, it took 60, meaning that the Knicks are in San Antonio tonight. What is the difference between this team and last year's team? If the Knicks lost their next 25 games in a row starting tonight, they would finally hit last year's 18-42. They lose to the Spurs and drop 25 in a row. They would hit where they were a year ago. Jay, I mean, Thibodeau's got to be up for Coach of the Year.
Yes.
Quickley's played great. Randall's played great. I think R.J. Barrett is rounding into form. Would you say he had a very up-and-down rookie year?
Yes. I mean, Derrick Rose, he inserts energy. Look, they're fourth in the East. They're fourth in the East. It's you know, as a guy who was born and raised around this area, like, I don't remember when I first started paying attention to basketball, like, the Knicks being – I mean, I remember, obviously, Patrick Ewing and, you know, John Starks and those teams to a degree, Anthony Mason, Uncle Oakley, and as I got into the league, like, meeting Uncle Oak and spending time with him, he was incredible. But like, as a grown up, the Knicks never been that team, and now they're actually to have guys like Emmanuel quickly play extremely well, to have guys like Julius Randle, who we're comparing him to Chris Bosh. Like, I don't remember having an NBA player in New York City that we're comparing to a guy like Chris Bosh, who's won multiple championships.
But my question to you, though, Jay.
Yeah, Debbie Downer, here it comes. Here it comes. I already feel it.
When it's all said and done, though, are they going to still be the fourth seed? Or are they going to be on the outside looking in?
I think when it's all said and done, I think they'll make the playoffs.
Which would be for the first time since 2012, 2013. So that would be a victory.
There's no extra team or anything like that, right?
Well, they are doing the extra playing game, yes, essentially. Because they're going to do the tournament, yes.
So they're going
to. So the eighth, ninth team will play, yes.
So you figure they're going to be in one of those little
I think
spots.
They'll be there. Look, Miami's coming. Boston's getting it back together. The Tampa Bay Raptors. So I'm calling them right now. Charlotte's playing better. LaMelo Ball had 30 last night. So the Pacers are still a good team. Bulls are a good team. Yes, I think they will be in the mix when it's all said and done.
I'm glad I'm not a basketball scout.
Last thing I would
tell
you.
Ain't no way in the world I'd have thought he had 30.
Who's that?
LaMelo.
I mean, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing him early on in, like, high school and stuff like that.
Oh, him and Carmelo Anthony did the jersey swap last night.
I just didn't see it.
Knicks are in the fourth spot, but remember, in the loss column, they're tied with the Heat, Celtics, and the Raptors, who are in the seventh spot at the moment. But the bottom line, free and clear by a half game, sitting alone in fourth. The big question has always been, Crazy. Can the Knicks get that free agent? Remember, they tried that ridiculous thing years ago with Donnie Walsh in the wheelchair and LeBron James. I mean, can they get that free agent? Stoudemire, was that enough? Was that basically a fallback plan? Brian Windhorst, who joined us earlier this morning and is the co-host of the Hoop Collective podcast, essentially saying, Knicks fans, it's been a long, arduous wait, but it's about to come to an end.
I say within the next 12 months, a star/superstar player demands a trade to New York. And I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses. I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. And I say by next year's trade deadline, a player, a superstar, you know, all-star player tries to force his way there.
Jay, he's being cagey there. Who's he talking about?
Everybody keeps talking about Bradley Beal. As much as everybody says Bradley Beal wants to stay in D.C., you wonder how long can Bradley Beal keep losing in D.C.? I hate to say this because it's my town, the team I played for. I mean, Zach LaVine there in Chicago. Chicago can't seem to figure out what they're doing. Zach LaVine could be one of those guys to say he wants to come here to New York. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. It really will.
Zach LaVine. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
That would pump the league, though, right? New York back relevant. Boston struggling. The Lakers are back. They're having New
then
York
you have
back.
Kevin Durant, James Harden right. in Brooklyn, another all-star in New York. You have both teams in L.A., LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, your two major markets. It would be interesting.
No, it would be good. That's for sure. Lakers, Clippers, even the teams out west, Utah, you know, Golden State to a degree, because they, even though they're struggling at times, it's still Golden State.
Clay
it's still
back.
Clay and still Steph. It's still, you know, it's still Golden State that won a number of championships over the last several years. Then when you look out east, like Jay was saying, you got the both teams here. You got Philly. You got Boston.
Milwaukee.
I always forget to mention Milwaukee just because I don't feel Milwaukee like that. But
Trey Young could be a free agent. Like I said, Zach LaVine would be
No, but he said trade it is what Windhorst said. He said trade it.
Or force a trade. Yeah.
Force a trade. I mean, I guess Trey Young could do that, but.
I mean.
Does Zach LaVine have a – with Tibbs from Tibbs days in Chicago? I don't remember.
No.
Too far. That was too far.
Too far. I'll give you another one. It's if they don't figure it out, it could be really interesting. And I've been saying this the whole year. You know, we had our midseason awards the other night on NBA Countdown. I said, my award was, what else do you want me to do? You want me to sing the national anthem too? Joking around about Luka Doncic being in Dallas because he does everything for Dallas. If it's not working out with Kristaps Porzingis, they can't find the right trade value. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is their third best player on that team.
Yeah, but Mark Cuban ain't going to let that happen.
I'm just right? saying, I mean, Bill Duffy represents Luka Doncic. Bill Duffy also represents R.J. Barrett. If there's a star that maybe doesn't feel like, hey, this organization is getting me to where I want to be, and you're watching what the Knicks is doing, what the Knicks are doing.
Oh, no, that would be big time for the NBA if he was to make that move.
Luka Doncic in New York City
but,
with the Knicks?
But I don't think Mark Cuban would let that get away, though. Why would he let that get away?
I'm not saying he would. I'm just saying sometimes if you're in a place like Dallas and if you're not winning or if you're barely making the playoffs and you're having to do everything and you see what they're building here in New York, you're seeing guys like Worldwide West, Leon Rose, it could be an intriguing prospect.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people felt like this was just the latest iteration, right? You got a player agent, you got Worldwide West, you got Tom Thibodeau, who is said to be too intense, and it's turned out to be almost too good. It's really ended up working. Think about how many minutes Randall is playing. How many guys have chafed under playing all those minutes under Thibodeau, right? And he loves it.
But I felt like that they would do good because those three individuals, they know basketball, man. It's not that difficult when you know something.
See you tomorrow. Greeny's next with Al Michaels.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.